start in verse 10 and review a little bit and get into mainly verses 12 through 16 this morning. Now, it's seven, Paul is addressing questions that were asked. These are questions that were asked by individuals in the church. We don't know the exact questions that were asked, but we know the answers that were given. Now, certain things Paul would say, this is of the Lord, and then some things he said, this is what I'm giving you or I'm telling you. So he was taking the truth of God's word and then giving more truth and explanation behind that. This is where we're going to be today because we're going to see this. He's going to say, the Lord said this, and now based on what the Lord said, I'm going to give you some more information under inspiration of God to help you understand what is being taught here. That's what Paul's giving. Now, keep in mind, as we approach chapter 7 again and come back into this, this area, especially what we're going to look at today, is a very controversial area. There are many individuals that have many different views and opinions when we come to this. Now, what we need to understand is this. When we look at Scripture, we must keep in context of the Scripture. We must look at what it's saying and understand it. And now, we may differ a little bit on some of this. That's fine. You could be wrong. I'll be right. Just kidding. But we can differ a little bit on this. But we have to understand, even if we differ on this, keep in mind God's original intent when it comes to marriage. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. Remember, going back to chapter 6, we talked about it may be lawful, but it's not expedient. It may be okay, but it may not be the best. That thought leads into chapter 7. What ended in chapter 6 was that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And then it led into the beginning of chapter 7. It says, if you're of the body of the Lord, how can you be part of the harlot? How can you do those things? And it talked about that. All that leads into where we're at this morning. Now, with saying all of this, I want us to keep in mind, the purpose of us looking at this is not so we can look at this and say, well, we got a bunch of bad people in our church. Oh, there's people that have done this and how terrible they are. No, it's for us to look at and say, okay, maybe we're younger and we're not at that place of marriage. There's going to be some truths here that's going to help you that we need to take and apply. Maybe you're married and you didn't do things exactly the way God wants you to do it. But it doesn't mean God can't forgive you, God can't use you, and you can't move forward. There's forgiveness given. There's forgiveness granted. I understand there's some individuals, you've been divorced, you've been remarried, and God has blessed that. You've got seek forgiveness, and God's used that and brought that marriage together. That's awesome. That's wonderful. God can do that. Aren't you glad we serve a gracious God that loves us even when we do wrong, and he forgives us, and we move forward. And we're going to see some truths that are given in this portion of Scripture. If you're able to, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we'll start in verse number 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, or man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Heavenly Father, we ask as we look at your word this morning that you would illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, I pray you would help each of us to see the truths that you want us to glean and to get this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just remove any distractions. Lord, help each of us to have a heart open to the teaching of your word. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to continue that thought this morning. God's word in marriage. God's word in marriage. Now, as we know, the home is very important to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God. The home is a very important institution. God gives much about the home. God gives much about the roles of the individuals in the home and how the individuals in the home are to act and what the individuals in the home are to do. And the whole purpose of the home, when you leave, you cleave, and you weave, as you do that, the whole purpose of that, that marriage unit, is to become together to glorify God. Now, in Corinth, if you recall, they viewed marriage differently in some sort than we did. There was four types of marriages, if you remember, during this period of time that was accepted. There was the marriage of the slaves, and we talked about that. There is the marriage of the dad selling off the daughters. There was the marriage there of the nobles and those individuals that is given there. That's similar to what our marriages would be. There was the common law marriage. That was the four types of marriages given during that period of time. The normal person, and I say normal person during this time, could have been married and divorced and remarried up to 20 times was normal during this period of time. This is what Paul's addressing. This is what Paul's talking to. He's answering the questions to that. I'm glad I only have one. All right, we won't go there. But yeah, as you think about this, and she's probably glad she only has one too, all right? And so as we see this address and this given here, keep in mind what he's addressing and what he's happening. Now, Paul, going back to the beginning of the Corinthians, he's doing this out of love, this letter, right? This is a love letter that he's giving them. This is out of love. He's not trying to condemn them. He's trying to help them. And the truths that we're going to look at this morning are there to help us, not to condemn us. It's to help us that we can grow and be what Christ wants us to be. Look at verse 10 as we look at God's word in regards to marriage. We look at the clear word in regards to what God intends. Now, we looked at this last time, but I'm just going to give a quick review, and then we'll get into verse 12. Look at verse 10 of chapter 7. And unto the married a command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. As we said last time in verse 10, God's intent is that nothing comes between a husband and a wife. Now, as we said before, I understand there's times that there are things that happen. I understand. I'm not going to tell you if you're being abused, if you're going through that, that you need to stay in that abusive relationship. I believe there's a such thing as biblical separation that is different than divorce or that type of thing. Because we're going to even see what it says later on in the scripture here, what ought to be done. I'm not saying you have to stay in an abusive relationship. I'm not saying you have to be in that because no one needs to go through those things. No one needs to have that done to them and harm them. Or if your child's being harmed, I'm not saying you need to stay in that situation. No way, no how. But that is not the same as divorce. Because God's perfect intent is what? That a husband and wife join together, they stay together to death do us part. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. We're going to get in later. The only thing that breaks the bond of marriage is death, according to the word of God. Now, some are going to say, we're going to get in the controversial part here in just a little bit. Some say that this bondage that's talked about here, That's giving you the freedom to divorce and remarry. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into that. Because you got to keep in context of what we're talking about and where we're at here. Now, God's clear word is this, that you need, as a believer, to clearly pray about who you're going to marry, and you marry who God has for you, not who you want. Because as you get married and you have a union joined by God, and you are searching for that individual that is where you need to be and they need to be, and they're spiritually seeking God, not perfect because none of us are, and they're on the same mindset, God brings you together, and as you go through some hardships, and every marriage goes through some hard times, every marriage is going to have some waves. Every marriage is going to have some struggles. But if it's bound on the word of God, found on God and Him, you're going to be able to weather those storms because your union is in Christ, not in so-called love. All right? You don't fall into love. You choose to marry who God has for you. Love is a choice. You don't fall into love. You choose to love. You choose. Donnie has to choose every day to love me. Can you imagine that? I mean, honestly, what's there not to love, Rich? And you have to choose to love. I'll be honest. There's some days I'm probably not the most lovely person. Can you believe that? I'll admit that right now. I tell you, there's some little quirks I have, Brian. Can you believe that? There's some things that I do a little funny at different times. But guess what? Love is a choice. Now, to me, loving Tanya is very easy because she's the most lovely person in the world. She never does anything wrong, ever. And so I can choose to love her perfectly and without that. And I get brownie points for that, right, Brian? But love is a choice. We choose to love. And God brings you together. And God's clear word is don't depart. Don't allow anything to sever that relationship. That's God's clear word to the married. That's what God's clear word is. Remember earlier on in chapter 7, he talked about the singles. And he said, hey, some of you, you're gifted to be single. You're gifted to stay single. It's okay if you're 40 years old and never married. That's okay. Maybe that's God's plan for your life. God has something special for you. God's used a lot of ladies that 40 years old that if they were married, he couldn't do what they've been used of. God has a plan for that. And I tell you, we mentioned this in that message. You know, sometimes we put a lot of pressure on individuals that are older and not married. Guess what? Don't ask them when they're going to get married and give you grandbabies. Maybe they're not to give you grandbabies. Maybe they're to stay single. God has a purpose and plan for their lives. But if you're married, God's clear word is this. What? That you stay together. Now look at this here. That's just review. Look at verse 11 here of chapter 7. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Now I want you to see the clear word given here. We see the clear word to the individuals that are married and the stay married and that truth that is given here. But look at this next thought here. If you depart, let her remain unmarried to be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. The clear word is this. Fight for your family. You see, the idea is this. If there's a saved and there's an unsaved. Now, what has happened here is most of these individuals that are in this situation, some of them got saved after marriage. And so a lot of their partners, one was saved, one was unsaved. This is the context. This is where we're at. And what he's saying is, if one is saved and one is unsaved, and if the one is going to be able to stay with you, no matter what you're having, no matter what the strain of the marriage is, no matter what the difficulties is, don't let her depart. The clear word is this: fight for your wife. Fight for your home. Fight for your marriage. If you're saved and maybe your wife's not saved, you fight for that marriage. You get on your knees and you pray for your spouse. You get on your knees and you see that, because later on in verses 14 and 16, it's going to give us the reasons why you don't divorce and remarry. Because verse 14 and 16 give us this, because there's that of what is called reconciliation that can take place. And he's saying this: if she's willing to stay, you do whatever you can to make that home what it ought to be. You be the spiritual leader in that home. You have that clear word that you set that home up and you're the leader in that home. Now, what has happened a lot of times is there's some strains that come in. And, well, my wife doesn't believe the way she needs to believe, so it's better for me to get rid of her and find someone that's more spiritual than she is, or someone that's saved. And I'm going to be able to go. You say, well, preacher, none of us will ever. Do you know that is a common thought out there today? God's going to be okay with this, because God wants me to be married to someone that is saved and someone that is living for God. So this individual won't get saved. This individual won't get right with God. So I'm just going to get rid of that person. No. That's not what Scripture teaches. Now, understand the situation here. They got into this situation. Probably the husband got saved. The wife didn't, after they were already married. But this is why it's very important for our young people to understand this. God does not want you to be unequally yoked together. God does not want you to marry a person. If you're saved, he does not want you to marry a person that's unsaved. Why? Because there's going to be issues. There's going to be problems because you're not thinking the same way. You're not on the same page. But it even goes a step further. God wants you to find someone that is spiritual, not just saved, someone that's spiritual. Why? Because if you're not on the same page, even though you're saved, you're not on the same page, you're going to have some issues in that marriage that you don't need to have if both of you are spiritually seeking God and living for God in your life. Well, they're not as bad as you think. They're saved. Wait a second. You want to find a person that's going to line up with the Word of God. Now, maybe you're in a situation here, and you can save yourself, young people, from a lot of heartache if you just do it God's way. But believer, maybe you're here, or maybe your kids are struggling here. Maybe some of your grandkids are struggling here. And you can give them some hope and some help from God's word. Because you know what God wants? Is you to encourage the individuals to be praying for their spouses. How do you stay together in an unequally old marriage? How do you stay together if one's saved and one's unsaved? How do you do this? You keep doing what you need to do spiritually speaking. I tell you, I've counseled a lot of people. And I tell you, I remember a situation back in Wisconsin 20-some years ago. There was a lady that was saved and her husband was not saved. And she prayed for her husband and prayed and prayed, and we went and visited and visited, and no results. Then all of a sudden that wife went off the line. She stopped coming to church. She stopped doing what she was supposed to be doing. The husband got saved. The husband started coming to church. Now we're praying for the wife. And we're working with the husband and praying for, and we went to the wife, and the wife ended up getting remarried to someone else during the course of the time. Then over the course of the time, the husband is serving, the husband is doing this, the wife has nothing to do with God. Wait a second. God's purpose is what? There to be that reconciliation and that bringing together there. And he says the clear word here is, do what you have to do. You keep living right. Do you know it's hard when you don't have someone on the same page in the home living right? But you still have to live right. You know, sometimes as kids, we say, well, mom and dad aren't living right, so why do I have to live right? Because it's still your responsibility to live right. Well, my spouse isn't living right. You know, if my wife would just get her act together, If she would just start serving God as she's supposed to do, then I would be the spiritual leader in the home that I'm supposed to be. Wait a second. Why don't you work on your spiritual condition? Why don't you find yourself on your knees, getting right with God, pleading to God, going before God, and let God continue to work in you? Because your life can sanctify, as we're going to see in a minute, can be an instrument in your spouse's life. But you have to live right. We got to be praying. We got to be fighting. We got to be doing those things. Let's look a little further here as we look at this portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But to the rest, verse 12, speak I not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Don't put them away. That's God's clear word. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So if they're pleased, if they're able to, even though they're not spiritual, and one saved, not saved, he says to the wife, don't you leave your husband. And I tell you, in our day and age, people say, well, he's unsaved. He's not doing this. Or he's only going to church for the wrong motives. Or he's only doing this for this and that. I have all the right to leave him. Or he got involved in this, and he had an affair, and he did this, and he did that. You know what the Bible says? Don't leave. If he's willing to stay, you stay, and you work it out, and you see God do something great. That's God's clear word. That's what's supposed to be done. Well, preacher, don't you know that Scripture gives a clause, that get out of jail free card in Matthew there, that we can, if someone does that, we can get out of there? Let me tell you this. We shared this a little bit last time. What is God's perfect will? Husband, wife, together for life. Well, there's the get out of jail card. I mentioned this before. Who is the audience in Matthew there where the exception clause is given? It's to the Jews. Do you know it's only in Matthew that is given? It is not given in any of the other Gospels, that clause. Because the other clause is different audience. It's talking to the Jews. And it's talking to more of the betrothal period in that. We don't have time to get in that whole thing. We did that last time. But even if there is a clause, and you can agree, you can have that view, that's fine. I don't believe there's a clause. Exception clause. I believe God's perfect will is for husband and wife for life. Now, I do believe there is God's permissive will. We talked about that last time. And God's permissive will is not that we just do what we want to do and call it God's permissive will. That means we seek God's forgiveness and God says, all right, and we're truly sorry for what we've done, and God takes that and that becomes God's permissive will, and we can be in God's will from that time forward. But God's clear word is this. That we need to stay together and do whatever we need to do to keep that together. That's God's perfect will, clear word. But look at verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. What is he saying? The clear word is this. The reason you stay together is so you can see the other person get right with God. Now, you don't marry an unsaved person or start dating an unsaved person to what I used to call them mission dating, all right? That's not what this is teaching. Do you know when a saved individual dates an unsaved individual? Usually that unsaved individual affects the saved individual more than the saved affects the unsaved. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about after marriage, after one gets saved, one doesn't. You stay together, you don't depart, and you do what you can because you can impact the other individual for the glory of God and see that person sanctified, see that person cleansed, see that person come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To see that happen. But how does that take place? It takes place by you not living in the flesh, but you living in the Spirit. And that means you set the standards and the way of living for your life to follow the Word of God. And to the best of your ability, you are that godly spouse in that relationship, even if the other individual isn't saved. That means your speech is seasoned right. That means your actions are right. That means your mind is right. That means you're praying right. That means you're doing those things you're doing. Why? Because the purpose of staying together is reconciliation. Now, let me ask you this. The clear word is this. Husband and wife stay together. But if a husband and wife split, how can you help the individual work through and see the individual there? Now, there's sometimes there's separation. But what happens? Husband, wife splits. One gets remarried. How can reconciliation be taking place? It can't, because later on in 1 Corinthians, what does it say? Well, can you now divorce that one and come back to your first one? No, you don't do that either. And so if you get divorced, you get remarried, the whole purpose is what? Reconciliation. Now you can't be reconciled because you've already messed it up. And so the idea is this, that you come together and you understand that this marriage is for life. And even if you separate, even if you depart, even if you're not together, you're still seeking reconciliation and praying for that individual. That's God's perfect will. Now, here we get into the controversy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. There is a clear word given in regards to peace. If one is not pleased to stay, even though you've done everything you can, it says, if they depart, let them depart. Okay. This does not mean that you don't fight for your marriage. Does not mean you don't pray for the individual. It does not mean you're not torn up over it, crying over it, seeking God for it. But it means this. You can't hogtie them and make them stay. If they depart, let them depart. Do you know some of the ugliest court cases are two believers fighting? Not even one unbeliever, one saved. I'm talking two believers fighting in court over their stuff from their marriage. What testimony? Remember, Paul addresses the court. We talked about the court. We're not to sue a believer. We're not to do that. That's a whole nother message. But here we have is, hey, you're not to fight for this. You're not to make this a mess. Because when we do this, what are we doing to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we're supposed to be a testimony. We're supposed to be the body. We're supposed to be these things and live as a temple of the Holy Ghost. And we're supposed to please God with all that we do. And when we're fighting and we're doing those things, what does that cause? But if they depart, let them depart. Pray for them. Seek reconciliation. Do everything you can in that way to save that marriage. But if they depart, you let them depart. And then it has this word. Look at the next phrase there. I want you to see this. This is where we need to see a thought here. Let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. What does that mean? Bondage. Does that mean that an individual is free from marriage? That word bondage means slavery. And so the idea that some teach is that your marriage is a slavery, and once the one departs, you can go ahead. Tina, no laughing over there. I see that look. One can depart, and then you're free from the slavery of that marriage, and then you can go and do whatever you want to do, and you can remarry, and you can have another husband, have another wife, and go forward. What is this bondage? What is this talking about? This is mean you're free from the duty or responsibility of your marriage. There's a lot of books that take this verse and they teach that divorce and remarriage is okay based on something called being deserted and one deserting and leaving. That is not what this portion of Scripture is teaching, because it would contradict everything else we've looked at to this point. You keep in context of this. What this is saying is, if one departs, as a wife, I don't have to run over to the house and cook and do the things and the responsibilities that I have as a wife, or even the physical responsibilities. Because remember, earlier on, we talked about giving and doing those things that I talked about in those verses there, and rendering. Remember, we talked about rendering and those things talked about earlier in that chapter. It says you're not under that bondage to fulfill the responsibility of a husband or to a wife. If one departs, one leaves. But it's not saying that you're free to get a divorce and free to remarry someone, because that would contradict all other scripture. It says that you're to do this, and you're to do it this way, going back to the next verse, is why? Still the purpose of what? Reconciliation. Still the purpose of seeing that spouse sanctified. Still seeing that individual come, and later on in 7, it's going to talk about more of this, about getting that individual, seeing the individual come to the same knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the purpose there is to understand what this bondage is. Let me give an illustration. I dealt with a couple while back. And the couple was going through some very major difficulties. And they separated from each other. And they were going through that. And this individual, one of the individuals, said, well, they're still my... And he actually was the one that left. And he said, she's still my wife, so I expect her to still come over here every day, clean the house, cook for me, do this, do that for me. No, the Bible teaches there is this bondage that they're free from. Now, that individual still needed to pray for her husband, still needed to seek that, still needed to see that individual get saved if it wasn't saved, so they can reconcile and bring that marriage together. That's the purpose. And then look at the last phrase there. All right, we see what's being taught here. We see that this bondage, that you're free from this bondage there. And it is this idea of what? But God hath called us to peace. It means this: we get to a place, we put down the fighting gloves, and we're seeking God to see what God can do in that relationship. That's the peace that it's talking about. You know, I could be going through a struggle in my marriage, but I can still have peace. You could be going through some hard times. You could be in a relationship that is not godly. You could be in a relationship that you've been attacked and you've been abused and you've gone through some things. And yes, there needs to be separation. Yes, you need to be praying. Yes, you need to be doing those things. But you can still be at peace, because God can give you that peace in that relationship. And God can give you that peace to realize that you can relinquish your rights, your responsibilities, and keep praying and keep seeking God and fulfilling God's will for your life. That's God's plan. Now, some will say, well, Pastor, that's great, that's wonderful. Why didn't I hear this 30 years ago before I got married and got divorced and got remarried? Now, am I just a mess now? Is there no hope for me? There's hope. Because God loves you still. God has forgiven you. And you need to move forward from this day forth, serving God, doing it God's way. And whatever situation you're in, whatever husband you have today, whatever wife you have today, God wants you to have a strong bond and union together, serving God and living for God. I'm glad that God has forgiven. I'm glad God forgives me when I sin. Do you know that divorce and remarriage is no different than any other sin? It's a sin in God's eyes. It is. I sin every day. It's a sin. Because what does God want? God wants us to stay together. That's God's purpose. But I'm glad God doesn't hold us down and say, you crazy person, I can't believe you ever done that. You're so terrible. No. God says, I understand. I forgive you. You repented. You turned. And I tell you, some of the greatest relationships I've seen are individuals that realized what they did they shouldn't have done, sought God's forgiveness, and God's brought that bond and that union together, and they're strong. But doesn't mean those that are going through it now use that as an excuse. Well, look at so-and-so. They've done that, and it worked out for them. No, that's not God's perfect plan. God's perfect plan is what? That you do what you can to keep that marriage together, and you serve God. Now, again, if you're in a situation that's not good, you need to move out of that situation for the purpose of reconciliation. Get the counsel. Get the help you need. Get those things you need. You don't need to be in those things. But do everything you can to fight for your home. Fight for your marriage. Whatever your family unit is today, fight for it. This world is trying, the devil's trying to get in and distort God's view of the home and then of the marriage. You see, God tells us, husbands, love your wives. Do you know, husbands? You're to love your wives more than you love yourself. You're to love your wives more than you love your hobby. You're to love your wives more than you love your job. You're to love your wives more than anything else. The only person that you love more than your wife is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And if you love him as you should, you're going to love your wife as you should. And you're to love your wives. That means you're sacrificial for your wife. That means you give over and beyond yourself for your wife. You're not selfish. Wives, as you submit unto God, you submit unto your husband. That means you follow the leadership of your husband. You realize that God has given you your husband. And you understand that you need to follow his spiritual leadership in the home. And husbands, you better set the spiritual leadership in your home. And you follow that spiritual leadership in the home. And you understand your role. Do you know it's not, and I know someone's going to get mad at what I'm going to say, it is not the wife's responsibility to set the level of spirituality in the home. It's the husband's. Now, some wives have to because the husbands aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. But the husband's supposed to set that level. The husband's supposed to say, we're going to church. As for me, my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the wife says, yes, we're going to go serve the Lord together. The husband says, we're going to have family devotions together. The wife says, yes, we're going to have family devotions together. This is the idea of loving and setting that standard and the wife submitting to that. We're going to go out and we're going to share the gospel together. Yes, we're going to do that. This is the whole idea. The husband sets the stage and the wife and the family follows the husband as they seek God. That's God's design. Then you have the husband, you have the wife, you have the children. The children are supposed to honor father and mother, right? We love that one. But what does it mean to honor? It means that you respect and love mom and dad enough to follow the leadership that they're setting in the home. That means as a child, you may not understand why mom and dad want you to go to church every Sunday. But you honor mom and dad, and you love mom and dad, and you respect mom and dad enough that you go to church every Sunday, and you don't throw a fit about it. You honor mother and father because they tell you you can't go out with these friends. And even though you say, well, they're not that bad of friends, but you honor mother and father and love them and respect them enough that you follow their leadership and say, well, if they don't think I should be with these friends, then I'm not going to be with those friends. Because we honor father and mother. And children, obey your parents. That means, children, you continue to honor them. You obey them because God has placed them as the authority in your life to raise you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you are to follow their guidance as they're trying to cultivate the right atmosphere and the right heart in your life so you serve God and live for God. We take marriage in a very casual way today in our society. People say, oh, I got nothing better to do. Let's just go get married. I got nothing better to do. Let's do it. I tell, in 23 years of full-time ministry, I've counseled a lot of people, and another thing that I've heard a lot with is, well, if this doesn't work out, we can just get a divorce. That should never enter the vocabulary of a believer's life. That ought not to be there. Not to get there. When I married people, I give 13 weeks of pre-marriage counseling. And the purpose is, one, it scares some away. They don't even want me to ever. I've had several talk to me, and then when I tell them what we have to do, they go do something else. They're not going to have me do it. But the purpose is what? Is to help teach, help show, help, because it's not a casual thing you're entering into. This is for life. Husbands, wives, no matter what your dynamic is this morning, God's perfect will is that you stay together, no matter where you're at. Well, preacher, I've been divorced, I've been remarried. You know what? Wherever you're at right now, seek God. Seek his face and see what God can do in that marriage today and keep serving God. But if you're struggling, keep fighting for it. Keep praying for it. And do what you have to do to live in a way that would bring that individual back or to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you.